We are thankful today to have a family with us that were members here for many years. Brother Fred Evans, his wife Cheryl, and their son Andrew, and their daughter Audrey. We're thankful to have them visiting with us today. Fred was called to preach as a member of this congregation, went out, became the pastor of a church in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, the Redeemer Baptist Church. And he's been there now for several years, faithful preacher of the gospel. And Fred's going to bring the message to us this morning, so let's give him our full attention and pray God will speak to each and every one of us. You know, God's chosen to use preaching to bless his people, to call his people, to build up his people, to encourage, to strengthen. And I just love when I'm able to hear preaching. And I'm so thankful you're here today to preach. I'm looking forward to the message. You come, if you will, Fred.
It is a privilege again to be with you, preach the gospel of Christ to you, and in fellowship together. I want to take this opportunity to thank this church for your support, your prayers, your love. Behold your epistle. It is. And what a great thing it is to have a faithful man as your pastor. I hope this doesn't give me technical difficulties, but that doesn't matter. Well, let's see. There we go. It's just my security blanket anyway. You'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Passage you who are believers, you know very well. If you've ever had any trouble whatsoever, you understand this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so here's the response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." What purpose? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." This morning I want to bring this message from this passage of Scripture concerning the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the response of every believer. By God's grace, it is my heart's desire to speak to those who are suffering. And listen, if you've been a believer for any time at all, I know you understand that word. Suffering. Our Lord said, "You shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Every believer suffering, every believer in great heaviness and manifold temptations, it is my heart's desire that God would, through this message, give you such comfort in the very teeth of your trouble, in the very midst of your persecutions. And I have this message divided into three divisions this morning. First of all, the purpose of thorns. The purpose of thorns. The apostle said, "The Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh." The second is the answer of Christ to thorns. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And the third thing is the response of faith to the answer of Christ. I would rather glory in tribulations, persecutions, infirmities, sicknesses, necessities. Why? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And so let's see these together. First of all, the purpose of our thorns. The apostle here was greatly blessed of God. You think of any other man that was more blessed than the apostle Paul. You'll be hard-pressed to find any believer in Scripture that has more of the revelation of the holy gospel of Christ than the apostle Paul knew. He was greatly blessed. He was given such grace. He was born as one out of due season, a persecutor of the church, a blasphemer. Yet God chose him, the most unlikely one. The most unlikely one. No one ever thought the apostle would be a believer. No one. No one. There was a Peter Minny preached a message a long time ago, surprised by grace. And the apostle's salvation was one surprised by grace. And everyone was surprised, even Paul. Paul was surprised. He received such great blessings. He was saved. He was a minister of the gospel to the Gentiles to spread the word. And here in this text, he expounds on such a great blessing. He was exalted to the third heaven. He saw things and heard things that was not lawful for him to write. He was forbidden to write such things as he saw and heard. What blessings? Who among us would not desire to see such things or hear such things? And yet he was given these things. What grace and privileges were given to him of God more than any other believer? And yet we read this, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations given to me, there was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now some men speculate as to what this thorn is. It really doesn't matter. Some believe physical sickness or loss of sight or impediment in speech. Some believe it was his conscience. You remember, he was the one that held the coats while they stoned Stephen. You imagine the pain and the anguish that would come upon a man's conscience daily to buffet him. But the Word of God is silent concerning this, and I believe it's for a reason, because so that every believer may put themselves in this place. Right. Every believer may put themselves in this place. God is silent here for this reason, that we may benefit from the lesson Paul learned concerning thorns in the flesh. And so I ask you this morning, are you suffering a thorn in the flesh? Are you suffering? Are you overcome with sickness, afflicted with pains of the body? Are you brought to the dust of death? Are you suffering the thorn of depression, of the mind, and despair? Is conscience? Are you afflicted by your conscience of sin, your guilt? And listen, believer, if you're not now, just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. You'll find the thorn. If you don't have one now, praise God for it, but it will come. It will come. It's in these times, then, what happens? The messenger of Satan becomes our persecutor. It's then he comes to buffet us in these times of grief and bring in railing accusations against us. Isn't it always when we're sick or infirmed, what's the first thing? What did I do? What did I do? What sin have I committed that would cause me such grief? These are messengers of Satan against the conscience. The devil comes, and it's always the same, to accuse or to condemn or assault our souls for this one purpose, to cause doubt. That's all he wants to do. He desires to move you and me from the simplicity that is in the gospel of Christ. He desires us to move our eyes from the Savior and place them somewhere else. We begin then to look to self. We begin to look to our works. We begin to look to something other than Christ. In our afflictions, we are tempted to look away from Christ for joy or peace. The believer in such a case, are you in such a case? Has the divine providence of God. Now I want you to know who brought the thorn. It was God. Amen. You want to know who brought your thorn? God did. You remember who brought those things upon Job, wasn't you? You remember God started that. He said, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" It was God that started that. And God causes these afflictions, these trials and difficulties. Why does God permit these things? That's the question that comes to mind, isn't it? Why? Why would God allow such thorns in the flesh and permit Satan to buffet his children? Look at the text. Learn. The apostle says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." There it is. Pride.
Yeah.
You know why you have these thorns? Pride. Sin. Believer in Christ, consider the abundance of the revelations given to you. Have you considered that? I know you think you know nothing. Now, right? I know this. Every time I stand up, I confess I know nothing. Nothing like I ought to know. But in truth, we do know.
Yeah.
We know a lot. Matter of fact, you know Christ, you know everything.
Amen.
You know everything there is to know. You know Christ. You have abundance. Consider the millions upon millions of people who ever walked upon the face of the earth, and yet God revealed Himself to you. God chose you. God redeemed you. God called you. Such abundance.
Amen.
You have such abundance. And so we, like Paul, have been blessed. We have been chosen. We've been loved of the Father with an everlasting love, redeemed by the effectual blood of the Son of God, called by the power of the Holy Spirit unto life. Behold, what manner of love the Father has shed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You got that? You're a son of God. Is there anything greater? Can you imagine anything greater than to have this revelation that you are a son of God? This thing that God purposed in eternity, He has now revealed to you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I'm not waiting to be a son of God. I am one.
Amen.
Just let you know, I've always been one. I didn't know that at all times, but I have. I was always a son of God. Chosen, adopted, purchased by God. Consider the greatness of His mercy toward us, in that there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Brethren, God has put us in union with His Son. Is there anything greater than that? You are one with the Son of God. One with Him. He's justified you, redeemed you. He's called you, and He keeps you. The Scriptures are clear concerning God's purpose in all things, and time and eternity are only and always for your good. Everything works together for your good. Everything. Our Lord tells us that in the last day he will divide all men, and you will be separated on his right hand, and he will say this to you, "Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." And yet, believer, though we are heirs of all things, though we should receive all spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, yet we know this. We know that we're not what we're going to be. That's what John says. He says, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God, yet it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Go look in the mirror. Is that what you're going to be? No. Praise God. Praise God. This old body is not what we're going to be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God has ordained this for our comfort, that we are to be conformed to the image of the Son of God by the new nature. Yet we still in this body have the old man constantly around our necks. The old man of sin. The Apostle Paul called it this body of death. You know what that is? That's that Roman torture that they had put for prisoners, for criminals. They had sewed that old corpse around the neck of the prisoner, and he had to drag it around till it fell off. Is that not what you feel, you who are believers? This rotting corpse about our necks. And so then we must contend with this flesh and old man, the sin. The apostle testifies of in our text is the most abominable sin that any believer could have, and that is the pride of grace. Is there anything more horrific in your eyes than being proud of grace? If you're ever proud of grace, you have no idea what grace is. Like the Apostle Paul, the more we see the grace of God, the more it shines on his benefits. The perfect redemption of Christ. I know this in my heart, I praise God, but with the flesh, it seems to move to pride. The flesh is always drawn to seek glory, to steal glory from God. Therefore, we see the reason then God sends thorns in the flesh so that we should not be exalted. Let no man think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How should you think? You should think soberly. Soberly. What are you really? I'm a sinner. What is all your hope? The grace of God. The blood of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. That's how we should think every moment of every day. And what do we need for this? We need thorns. God sends thorns for this purpose. Believer, what sort of people would we be if our God did not send these thorns? Can you imagine how arrogant and boastful we should be? If God would not correct us, pride would surely consume us. Should God cease to chasten us and give us these thorns in the flesh, we would exalt ourselves highly. We should surely become proud boasters and try to find some merit in our own righteousness. Therefore, believer, you are pressed down by the omnipotent hand of God. Consider the reason of these thorns in the flesh is to keep you from such sins as pride. Now in verse 8, the Apostle Paul is beseeching the Lord. Look at that. He gets this thorn in the flesh, and what does he do? He cries. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." The apostle said, "Save me from this thorn. Deliver me from this thorn. Comfort me from this rebuke, this messenger of Satan." He sought it three times. Is that not what you do? That's what every believer does. We cry unto God. Go to Psalm 77. This is not new. Every believer in all of Scripture has done this every time there's been a thorn in the flesh. In Psalm 77, Asaph is one of these men. Psalm 77. Asaph crying unto God in his trouble, he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. You see, he couldn't contain it any longer. You've been there with the thorn, you contain it, you try to put on a fake smile, you walk through this life trying to suppress it, and he says, I can't suppress it anymore. It has to come out. I have to scream, I have to cry. And he does. He said, I cried not just inside. I cried outside with my voice. And God heard me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran into the night. It ceased not. Now listen to this. My soul refused to be comforted. You been there? That flesh. Have someone come near you. Someone come alongside you and they comfort you with the Word of God. They take what is the only comfort they can give you, is God's Word concerning Christ. And what does your soul do? It refuses to even listen. That's a thorn. That's a deep wound. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Anyone relate to that? Have you been so vexed and troubled that you can't even look up? Feel so cast down to the dust by your afflictions? And what should you do? You cry. And what do you do after you cry? You hope God will come. You do. You hope. Maybe He'll come. Now listen, He always hears you. That doesn't mean He always responds quickly. He may come. He may deliver you. He may in a moment cause all your troubles to leave. He may cause you to rise from the deathbed like He did Hezekiah. He may part the Red Sea as He did for Israel. But what if He delays? The apostle asked three times. And He gave him no response. Until the last time. What if God delays in coming? What if He will not deliver us from the fire of affliction? Now listen, we have no record of Paul ever being delivered from this. Could suffer this thorn all the way to death. Remember Lazarus? He begged at the rich man's gate until he died with no relief. We know that this man was not delivered. He was a beggar all his life until God took him. We read of those in Hebrews 11. He said, some had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Does that sound pleasant? God never promised you pleasant in this world. Never. Believer, what if God has willed and purposed that we should suffer this thorn the rest of our days? How can we rejoice in such pains? What is the answer? Well, God never leaves you without an answer. This is the second thing. Christ gives you the answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. There's your answer. There's your answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Suffering, afflicted saint, this is the answer of God to you. You want an answer? There it is. My grace is sufficient for thee. The Psalm Asaph said, he said, I will remember the works of the Lord. This is how we endure. This is the purpose of this book. This is why you have this book. So that you might remember the grace of God. You might remember in the midst of your afflictions that the grace of Christ is sufficient. He remembered the grace of God in the deliverance of Israel by the blood of the Lamb. He remembered the grace of God in passing over in the Red Sea on dry ground. He remembered these things. So then now, in your affliction, what do you need to do? Remember. Not just anything. Remember the grace of God. Set your mind on the grace of God. There are four things about the grace of God you should remember. First of all, remember it was by grace He chose you. It was by grace. How is it that you were quickened to faith in Christ while millions will not believe? You were chosen. You were loved. Because God hath given you all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus before the world began. Remember that God in sovereign free grace without any merit or value in you, He chose you and put you in union with His Son. And remember that this grace, in grace, He adopted us to be His sons by the works only of His Son and not yours. That's good news.
Amen.
That's good news. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, "You have not chosen Me, I have chosen you." Remember, you were chosen. Second of all, believer, remember this. Remember the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sufficiently, completely, and perfectly redeemed you. Behold your affliction. In your affliction, the Son of God, who was set up to be your Savior. You got that? Christ was set up to be your Savior. God purposed Him to be your Savior. He said, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before the works, His works of old. I was set up from everlasting." Set up for what? To be your Redeemer. To be your surety. Now, was this against His will? No. He said, "I was the delight of the Father, and My delight was with you." Now, is that not grace? My delight was always with you. He was chosen to be our surety. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I love this. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders." That's the whole gospel. Right there. Whole gospel. Unto us a child is born, His humanity prophesied. Unto us a son is given, His deity proclaimed, and upon His shoulders, the government, His elect, His kingdom should rest on His shoulders. In other words, He was to be responsible for the salvation of all His people.
Amen.
You heard that the buck stops here. Christ said it stops right here. I'm responsible. If I bring them not to Thee, let Me bear the blame. That's what a surety is. One who guarantees. Christ, our Savior, bore His people. He took responsibility. Look now, afflicted, even in the midst of your suffering, at your Savior's suffering. Can you compare yours to His? What are you suffering right now as you think could compare to His suffering? You can't. He bore your sin in His own body on the tree He bare the justice of God, not just for your sins, but all the sins of all his people. In body and soul he suffered. He suffered. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. For this purpose, I will turn my hand to the little ones. Behold the suffering of thy Savior. So then, how can we, in the midst of our suffering, then question his love? How can we question his wisdom, as to suppose we would know better what to do? What if the world were in your hands? We can't even run our own households. No. It's all his. It's all his. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So great was this grace that after he suffered, God himself cannot find my sin. In those days, Jeremiah 50:20, in those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon. I will pardon them whom I reserve. You've been reserved? Is that not sufficient for you? What about the grace of our calling? Remember the grace of our calling. Remember the Lord. How did he find you? Where did he find you? Did he find you seeking him? Did he find you searching for him? Did he find you in righteousness? No, he found us polluted in our own blood. Yeah. He found us cast out to the loathing of our person. That's where he found me. In my sin. He found me not looking for him, but running from him. Found us in that waste, howling wilderness. That's what he says in Deuteronomy. He said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. And listen, he led him about. You know, all my life he led me about. Didn't know where I was going. Didn't know what I was doing. He was led me about. And he led me right there to hear this gospel and to believe his son. You think you're here by accident? You just happen to be here. Nope. No, it don't work that way. God leads his people. He instructs him. And listen, he keeps them as the apple of his eye. Yes. Is that grace not sufficient for you? He found us. He finds us. He keeps us. And what did he find? What did he do when he found us? What did we deserve when he found us? We deserve judgment, justice, death. But what do you receive instead? Mercy, grace, love, pardon, forgiveness, peace. You received everything you didn't deserve. Grace. Grace is what you found. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the beautiful face of Jesus Christ, by which we see him now through a glass darkly, soon face to face. Soon Therefore, as we remember the grace of God, our Father chose us, the grace of our the Son who loved us and redeemed us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, is not this grace sufficient then to keep you? That's the next thing you need to be looking at, is His keeping grace. Amen. His keeping grace. In the midst of your trouble, remember, He didn't say, my grace was sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient. Ever, presently, now, sufficient. See, believer, in the midst of your afflictions and thorns of the flesh, the grace of Christ is now, even perpetually, eternally, and presently sufficient, not only to save you, but to keep you. Why is it that you have not gone away? I've seen many of you for years. I know you're not here because David's handsome, right? You're here because of what he preaches. Now, why are you still here? Many have gone away. I've seen people that have not been in this church and now they're gone. Why is it you still believe? Because you're kept by the power of God. That's what our brother just read in his lesson there in Peter. He said, you are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you blameless, spotless before the presence of God. And so then, what's the response of faith? What is the response to such grace? Look what our Lord said here. He said, my grace, back to your text, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. It is the purpose of our afflictions to manifest our perfect weakness. Isn't that what that does? When the thorn of the flesh comes, what does it do? It manifests your perfect weakness. I know this. I've known for many years of my perfect weakness. But the more I grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the more it's manifest to me of my perfect weakness. That's what God does. He's showing you how real. You think you know how weak you are? We've just not begun to scratch the surface. That's what this does. It shows us our weakness, our perfect weakness. The believer, we must recognize that we could not cure ourselves from anything. You cure yourselves from a cold? No, you're weak. How much more of these spiritual things, spiritual afflictions that come, can you cure yourself of this? No. We are taught by the grace of God that salvation is of the Lord completely and absolutely of His hand, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The meaning of Jesus' words here is that the strength of Christ is made to appear, is illustrated and shines forth in its perfect glory, in supplying and supporting and strengthening His people under their weakness. If we are not made to see our perfect weakness in ourselves, then His strength will not be manifest. He's manifesting His strength by your weakness. Believers, see then, the reason of the thorn is to show the sufficiency of His grace. The thorn is to show you your weakness and to make glorious His perfect strength. Isn't He perfectly strong? Is there anything too hard for God? Anything? No. How do I know that? I'm weak. And in my weakness, yet I'm still here. That's grace. That's strength, not of myself. So what is the response? Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you want your strength or His? I want His. Now, what does that cost? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it costs. If I have His strength, I'll be able to bear it.
Amen.
Whatever it is. In your strength, you can't bear anything. In His, you can bear anything and everything. Are you afflicted? Robert Hawker said this. I want to quote this. It's very good. It is as if Jesus said unto you and to me, to each, to all, my grace is sufficient for thee, meaning that there is sufficiency of grace laid up for each and for all, and always ready to be given out at the very moment of need. Christ's grace is in the extent corresponds to the want of each. It is laid up for that child from everlasting. It is as if Jesus said, I foresaw the very portion which would be required and have kept it and do keep it for the time foreseen and provided for. Our Jesus is El Shaddai, God, all sufficient.
Amen.
Friends, if I have Christ, I have everything. If I have Him, I have need of nothing. Why? His grace is sufficient. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches. And Paul's not just saying, I take pleasure in hurting. He said, I do it for one reason, for Christ's sake, that His grace might be manifest. Let me ask you, if you read through His epistles, is not the grace of Christ manifest through His weakness and His infirmities? It was. Friends, God uses His church. He uses these afflictions. He uses these things for the good of His people, for the furtherance of His gospel. Do you know the grace of Christ? Do you know the grace of Christ? Have you believed on the Son of God? That's evidence, isn't it?
Amen.
If I've ever been elected, if I've ever been redeemed, faith is always the evidence of that. Have you believed? Then you know His grace is sufficient in whatever thorn He decides to give us. May He comfort you and strengthen you.